Who is Jesus? That's the question that each of the gospel writers are trying to answer for us. Who is Jesus? A couple of weeks ago, we heard the beginning of Mark's gospel, in which there are none of the characters we usually associate with the birth of Jesus. On Christmas Eve, we heard the Gentile physician Luke's telling of Christ's birth into the world in the context of a decree made by the Roman emperor for a census. Today, we hear the later interpretation given by John, a theological interpretation which may leave us scratching our heads or with our minds wandering aimlessly to speculations about which team will win the playoffs tomorrow. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's important to pay attention to the capitalization of the W in Word here. This Word is not just any Word. This is the Word. And the Word that was with God in the beginning and actively engaged with God in creation is the Word that became flesh and lived among us, as is noted a few verses later in our reading. This is what John wants us to know about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word that was with God, was part of God, moved with God in creation. Jesus is God and is God's Word, the very Word that spoke creation into being. God said, "Let it be so." And so all creation came out of being, out of the Word of God. John gives us the very heart of the incarnation in these passages. Jesus is God and has been with God since the beginning. He was not created in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. It's important for us to pay attention to this. Jesus just did not appear on the stage in a manger in Bethlehem, although that is how Jesus appeared in the flesh. But Jesus was with God working for the creation and salvation of the world from the beginning. As Mark brought to our attention, Jesus is not a brand new plan that God had because the Hebrew people of God had gone astray. Jesus was part of God from the beginning, was part of God's plan of self-revelation from the beginning. The amazing and awe-inspiring part of God's plan of self-revelation was that it happened by God becoming one of us, lowering himself and entering into our experience, just as we live our experience of life, fully human in a body. The importance of that for us cannot be overstated. The phrase, "the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," might not jar us or even grab our attention. It sounds rather vague and unclear and frankly churchy. But the reality of God, the very one who spoke the cosmos into being and breathed his life-giving breath into everything that lives and breathes, chose to reveal himself to us by becoming flesh and blood, a living, breathing human man in a human body. That should cause us to stop and think long and hard. For centuries, we've sidestepped the implications of the incarnation. Early on, folks downright ignored it or even denied its implication. The implication being that if God chose to come to earth in a human body, a real, fully functioning human body with all the complications that bodies entail, then the human body, the material nature of who we are, cannot be bad. Did you ever really ponder the reality that Jesus, the Son of God, God as man, had a very real body? One of my favorite stories from Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World, is her description of a time when she visited a small church and got there early as an altar guild lady was setting up for the service. She was admiring the stained glass windows, one of which was the crucifixion, when she suddenly realized that the depiction of Jesus in the window showed an entirely hairless body. Being one who quickly says what comes to her mind, Barbara commented on what she had just noticed, and in doing so, totally offended the dutiful and faithful servant of the altar guild. But her point is entirely valid. We tend to want to clean up Jesus, to make him not like us, no hair on his body. Not just a stray unwanted black hair on the chin, but no hair at all. No underarm hair, no chest hair, no leg hair, and certainly no tufts of black curly hair grouped in clumps in the midsection of his back. Let's not even talk about nose hair. That would be irreverent. Or would it be? Would it really? Perhaps that's what Jesus has come to show us, that all of us is okay, even the bodies we are so often unhappy with for any number of reasons. We've said on any number of occasions that Jesus and Christianity is countercultural. What could be more countercultural than God, who comes to show us to love our bodies unconditionally? Think about the myriad number of ways we're told on a daily basis that our bodies are not okay, that they need to look differently or function differently. Imagine how freeing it could be for us to embrace our bodies just as they were created, knowing that they were created in the image of God. Take that imagining one step farther and imagine that even the ways that we believe our bodies let us down are part of the way that they were created. Imagine loving the part of you that houses the rest of you. Think about loving you, body, mind, heart, and soul, just as we are told to love God. This is not carte blanche for overindulgence. In fact, if we think about it, we realize it's just the opposite. Our bodies are part of the God-given gift of who we are, and we should treat them as such. I realize that there is much conflicting information about what is good for our bodies and what is not good for our bodies. Much of the time, all we can do is the best we can do. And perhaps a splurge on occasion is just fine. I think I'm safe in saying that there is not one person here who could not immediately point out or think of, at least, something that we don't like about our bodies. The crooked tooth, the fat thighs, the ugly birthmark, misshapen feet, or on and on. And the reality is that God loves all of us, every bit of us. Even those body parts that we find imperfect or unseemly or downright ugly. God came to show us love. Love of self, love of neighbor, and love returned to God, who first loved the world so much that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.